Hey guys, Elias here with the latest episode of the Extra Rounds podcast. I am without my partner, Mike Dice, who is in Cleveland for UFC 203. I was supposed to be out there with him. I am bringing you a bootleg but still correct episode this week, recorded from my house. I am unfortunately an injured reserve. I am not at UFC 203. I won't bore you with the medical annoyances. I am fine now, but I'm at home. So we have to do some of the work from here. Like I said, this week's episode was out the frills. And you notice, no new metal music leading into this conversation. And we won't have any new metal outro. What we will have is a phenomenal conversation with Eve Edwards as he looks at UFC 203 and some of the biggest matchups there, the heavyweight title and the debut of CM Punk, Phil Brooks, former WWE star and champion, fighting Mickey Gall. Eve Edwards, of course, does broadcast work for Fox Sports 1. He is going to be, I believe, the next Brazil card doing work there. He'll tell us more about where you can see him next. But for those of you that may only know him from his fine television work, do your research. Go watch some awesome fights. Eve Edwards fought professionally for about 17 years, fought over 60 times, and has also coached as a member of American Top Team current stars and champions like Tyron Woodley and Dustin Poirier. Simply put, Eve Edwards is one of the best minds and the most experienced athletes in MMA history. He was, for a long time, one of the very best lightweights in the entire world. We're so stoked to have him on. He's going to be on here in just a moment. And he's going to look at that heavyweight title fight. He's going to look at CM Punk. Eve Edwards actually got a little bit of a close-up to CM Punk, Phil Brooks, in Milwaukee when Brooks had just started his first weeks over at Rufus Sport. Eve Edwards is there with Tyron Woodley, and he's got some things to say about him. He certainly likes Phil Brooks. He is certainly looking forward to the fight. I think you guys are going to be interested in how he looks at it, though. There's been so much debate. How ready is Phil Brooks? Does he deserve it? Yeah, I mean, there's a debate about that. And I think, talking offline, I know Eve and I have some similar but some different opinions as well about the quote-unquote deserving component of this fight. But more importantly, he looks at the readiness. How ready can Phil Brooks be when he started from scratch under 2 years ago? He's going to talk about that from the lens of his experience, his expertise. You know, I've written and said a lot about it, and I have my own little version of experience of martial arts and fighting and as a journalist. Eve Edwards dwarfs mine and just about everyone else's experience, and as a coach, as a fighter, as an analyst, he looks at that, and I'm really excited to have him on. I'm being told that he is on the line now, so I am going to go to him in just a moment. Again, we have Eve Edwards coming on here in just a moment of the Extra Rounds podcast. I'm Elias Cepeda. I'm here without Mike Dice, who is on the road at UFC 203. I am here at home, convalescing, feeling much better, but unable to make the trip. But super stoked to talk to Eve Edwards. Eve, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for making time, man. We've got UFC 203 coming up. The biggest fight on that, obviously, is the heavyweight title fight between Stipe Miocic, who's the new champion, and he's taking on Alistair Overeem, former kickboxing world champion, a longtime top contender at light heavyweight and back in Pride days, and or middleweight, as they call it there, and heavyweight now in the UFC when he was in Strikeforce. There's a lot of interesting factors. It's a cool style matchup. You got everything from their styles to Stipe and Miocic fighting at home. How do you see this fight when you break it down, Eve?
Well, this fight is a kind of a throwback to a classic striker versus grappler matchup, in that these guys are coming from a kickboxing background and a wrestling background, but Miocic is far more than a grappler and a wrestler. His boxing is very crisp. He understands defensively the kickboxing game pretty well. And he mixes his wrestling in very, very sparingly. when he does, it's to good effect. On the other hand, we have Alistair Overeem, who's a great kickboxer, you know, former K-1 champion. He's held titles in other organizations, and he's been doing this for a much longer time. With Overeem, I think he wants to keep this fight long, stay at a distance, and be able to land those kicks. The problem is, the kicks are kind of an invitation for a wrestler to take you down. So I don't know how that's going to play into this fight, and that's something I'm really curious about. If he's going to throw a lot of those kicks to the body like he does, because when he hits you in the body, it hurts. He was able to do that to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, and I keep messing those names up. Sometimes I say Brock Larson when I mean Brock Lesnar, and vice versa.
Well, that's a sign of a hardcore analyst. The fact that, you know, Brock Larson comes to mind. He's a longtime top welterweight. A lot of the newer fans might not know. Great fighter, former title challenger to the WEC. Just retired recently. So, no, man, that's a smart slip up.
Well, thank you. But yeah, with Lesnar, he was able to land some of the body kicks and do some real damage with them. Jokic is a different type of fighter in that he is not uncomfortable in the striking game. So I don't think the kicks are going to play out the same way, but is Alistair Overeem going to be able to put that ingredient into his fight cake and be able to make it effective and be able to land those kicks and not be a threat to take down? So those are some issues that I look at. Also, I go back to Alistair Overeem and his defense towards the wrestling, and that he's always had a really good guillotine, especially in the prize tournament. He hit a couple guys with that guillotine around that time, and I don't think that's something that you lose. He hasn't hit that guillotine in a long time, but that's one of those things in his repertoire that I would say that he probably takes for granted now. He gets back to that position, and it's just like old hat for him. He would probably be very comfortable in that position and be able to hit a guillotine, and that's something you really want to have in your arsenal when you're facing a good wrestler like Miocic. But again, Miocic is not the kind of guy to just shoot takedowns the whole time. So this fight is really exciting in that aspect, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Miocic goes in there and defends that belt, or if Overeem is able to do the things that he needs to do, keep Miocic at distance and make this more of a kickboxing bout than a boxing match, and be able to take that title away from him.
That's really interesting. Those are some really cool points to think about, especially that guillotine choke where, like you mentioned, he used it to great effect in Pride. He won another lifetime ago, I think, the Abu Dhabi trials with a bunch of guillotines. So he's got that ability, even if most fans haven't been able to see it. Do you feel like, Eve, that any one of these guys has like an advantage if it's a short fight or if it's a long one? I mean, Overeem has so much power and he's finished people quickly in the past that it's probably a temptation to say, hey, yeah, if he's going to win, he's got to do it, you know, fast. But on the other hand, he's actually shown a lot of patience and more tactical, approach in his last few fights. So do you think one guy basically has a conditioning advantage over the other, or would you expect that to be the case, or not really?
To some degree, yes, that plays a factor. I don't know how much of a factor that plays into the fight, but that's going to be dictated by the pace. If the pace is a high pace, then I would lean more towards Miocic. If Miocic is able to push the pace on him, stay in his face, keep the fight in a tight boxing range rather than in kickboxing range, there'll be more pressure applied to Overeem, and if that's the case, Overeem could possibly start to fade come round three in the championship rounds. But if he can keep this fight at distance, make Miocic fight the fight at his pace, the way that he's slowed down in the past in late fights, that could not be the issue for him this time. If he's able to keep this fight at a distance and be patient and fight when he's ready to fight, make the engagements happen when he wants them to happen.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I haven't seen Overeem I don't know how else to put it. I haven't seen him without a shirt since his last fight. But in these interviews, he looks like he's gotten a bit smaller again. And, you know, he had gotten a bit smaller since he had been at his heaviest and leanest and stuff. What do you make of that? Do you think that it helps him be more economical? Like, do big old muscles in MMA not always help because they use so much oxygen, or do you not put too much stock in his size being smaller one way or the other?
I think it plays a factor for sure. And if he's more lean, that would tell me that he's doing more about his conditioning. He's doing more to be able to fight in the championship rounds. And I definitely think it plays a factor. Is it going to be the key to this fight? It's very possible that it could be. I mean, Overeem has faded in the past, like you said, and because of that, I think he's learned a lesson. He's been doing this for a long time, man. And for someone, a man that's been in the fight game for as long as Alistair Overeem has, and to still be making adjustments, to still be learning, it shows the level of martial artist that's within him, and it shows that he's still willing to grow. That's a big deal. To be a contender for the UFC heavyweight title and still be growing, still be changing things, still be implementing new things into your strategy and your game, even with the level of success that he's had, because he hasn't held the UFC title, to be making those changes in your game, that says that he's still committed to this and he wants this. This title shot is just not something that's a passing fancy for him. He's really going after it, if that's the case.
That's it. I like that. I haven't really heard people bring that perspective in. Like, hey, he's still making adjustments, and that says a lot about him. All these things considered, Eve, do you have a person in this matchup that you favor, that you think is more likely to be the winner? Like, do you think Miocic is more likely to defend, or Alistair to unseat him? I personally hate having to make predictions. So it's okay if you don't have one up or down, but I am curious. Do you favor one guy over the other?
I really don't favor one guy over the other in this one. I'm a fan of both those men. When I see how this fight lines up, there are things that I think give a guy an advantage, and I would say the advantage would go to Miocic in this fight, in that he has the ability to wrestle, and his boxing is just as crisp as you could imagine. I mean, the guy stands in the pocket with Mark Hunt, you know. That's a big deal to be in there with a big puncher like Mark Hunt, stand in the pocket, and to be comfortable in there. Overeem likes to fight long, so if the fight happens there, I think if Miocic is able to make this fight a boxing range fight where wrestling is right on the back burner and he can pull that out at any opportunity that he needs to, he definitely has the advantage, and I think that's how he wins this fight. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off. Overeem's going to throw those kicks at him from the outside, trying to keep that range. Overeem is going to throw that jab. But the more, as I say this aloud, and not just looking at it and thinking about it in my head, I think Miocic is going to be able to put that pressure on and going to be able to get inside and apply that pressure from that range and be able to change the game if need be and put Overeem on his back. And if he can put Overeem on his back, Overeem's competent on the ground, but at the same time, Miocic is a very good wrestler. He has all that wrestling experience, and he's had a ton of UFC fights. So he's had that experience of being with some of the best guys on the ground and being able to ground and pound them. So, as we have this conversation, I'm starting to lean a little more towards Miocic on this one, but don't put money down on that and then come back to me and start complaining if he loses, because every time I make a pick, I'm wrong, and that's why they fight.
That's right, yeah. We could only do our best here, but yeah, fighting is super unpredictable. We got moved to another fight on the card. Some people will probably hate us for doing it. There's so many great deserving fighters on this card in Cleveland at UFC 203, but probably other than the heavyweight title, what most people have been talking about is Phil Brooks, former WWE wrestler known as CM Punk. He is fighting for the first time ever, not just in the UFC, and Phil Brooks is taking on Mickey Gall, who is a young kid in his 20s who has two pro fights, one of those in the UFC. He's got two amateur fights before that. So I don't want to talk about if Brooks, quote-unquote, deserved to get a shot at the UFC. Like, to me, that's not even something that can be intelligently argued. Of course he didn't, and he's not even saying he, quote-unquote, deserved it, but he's not turning down the opportunity. But I want to talk about, in your opinion, you know, you have as much or more experience as anyone in the history of MMA, fighting for so long at the highest of levels, Eve. How much do you think he could have possibly learned? How good do you think he could have possibly gotten in a year and a half? And I say a year and a half because that's about when he started training at Duke Rufus's phenomenal gym and team in Milwaukee. You know, there's been a lot of talk about, Phil Brooks had some Muay Thai training. No, he didn't. That was part of his wrestling stick. Oh, you know, he had jiu-jitsu experience. Well, he had a coach who was a couple thousand miles away that he'd see from time to time. In actuality, he's never competed in sports. He says he's suffered a lot of concussions, had a lot of back injuries, and now when he's getting close to 40, he's starting from scratch at an amazing gym with great teachers. You know, we've seen some footage of him even recently, Eve. How much can him, or just in your experience, how much can anyone really learn from scratch in a year and a half?
I want to address something that you did mention, but you kind of put it on the back burner when you said you don't know if he deserved it or he hasn't necessarily earned it. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that, but I do feel like there can be an argument for that case. The guy is a WWE superstar. He's made a big name for himself in the WWE. And because of that, I think that is why he has to fight. If he wants to do this MMA thing, he has to fight in the UFC. He can't fight somewhere else. Why? Because he's CM Punk. And if he's on a small card anywhere, everybody wants to be the guy that beats up CM Punk. I mean, if he would have fought on whatever show, I don't remember the name of the event, but the show that Dana found Mickey Gall at, if he was fighting on that event, any one of the guys on that card would have been head over heels in love to have that fight on their record, to have CM Punk be the guy that they're facing. So, I mean, as far as it goes, yes, he hasn't earned it, but at the same time, Phil Brooks didn't get this fight. CM Punk got him this fight. You know? So
that's very interesting, yeah.
How much can he learn in a year? CM Punk has made a name for himself. He's done a lot in the WWE. He's made hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. Hundreds of thousands on a night, millions of dollars over the time. And because of that, he has the capacity to put all of his time in the training. He can be at the gym and go and recover. And he can live the life of a fighter. He doesn't have to do what a lot of guys do when they first start this MMA game, in that they're working. They have to go to the gym, they have to rest, they have to make sure that their bills are paid. They have so many other distractions that kind of prevent them from getting as good as they can, as quickly as they can. Phil Brooks doesn't have that issue. He can spend all the time that he needs to spend in the gym at Rufus Sport with some of the best coaches in the game. And with that being said, he's going to get a lot better than a lot of guys will in a year's time. But at the same time, he's training with some of the best guys and making his debut in the UFC against a guy who has some UFC experience, against a guy who has had amateur fights, and he's been in there before. CM Punk or Phil Brooks has not had those events. He hasn't had that experience. And the only thing, one of the top things that you will get on the list of experience, or one of the biggest things that leads to experience, is time. You need time to gain that experience. You need to have those situations presented to you to gain that experience. And yes, I watched some of the evolution of Punk, and they had some smokers. They had him fighting a couple smoker events at the gym so that he would gain some experience, but at the same time, that's the controlled situation. The guys that he fought in those events, they were, if it was not directly said to them, hey, don't beat up this guy, don't destroy him, it was at least implied. So and then with the editing and the slow-mo of the videos, we don't necessarily know how much pressure those guys were truly putting on Phil Brooks in those situations. We did see him get submitted, but we also saw him escape. I saw him escape an armbar that looked to be in. And if you're in a fight situation, I've been in an armbar before. I've been in a heel hook before when I'm like, this guy's not tapping, and I don't really like heel hooks, but it's not my problem if his leg is broken. You know, when you're in the gym and you're about to break CM Punk's arm, that's the problem. But when you're in the octagon and you're about to break CM Punk's arm, nobody gives a damn, right? Nobody outside of CM Punk's team cares at that point. You don't care. So he's had some of those experiences, but I don't know how real they were, and they definitely weren't as real as it's going to be in the UFC. The UFC is going to be a different beast. I don't think the crowd and the UFC jitters is going to get to him because he's been in the WWE. He's been a superstar. He's had thousands and millions of people watching him do his thing. But he hasn't had thousands and millions of people watching him do his thing when someone is pretending to try to kill him. And there's only one other person in there that's going to stop it. He's not going to die, but Mickey Gall is going to come after him and try to put everything on him. And how he reacts when that reality sets in is going to be a big point, because the moment Mickey Gall has that opportunity to try to destroy CM Punk, he's going to try to take advantage of that. And how CM Punk reacts in that moment, that's going to tell you how good he was able to get in a year, but how much the effect of the time that he spent has on the skills that he's developed. And that's a very, very strange place to have to go through that experience for the very first time. That's a tall order for anybody. I don't care how much experience you have being in front of crowds.
I think that's so well put, and I think that makes so much sense. And I don't think many people have broken it down. A lot of people are saying, oh, he's been in front of a crowd. But you're right. It's a different thing when you've got that pressure on you. I wasn't in the gym, but I think those things that they've called smokers, it wasn't even sparring. Like, it was timing sparring, you know? Like, and people who train and fight kind of know the difference, right? Like, there's hard sparring. There's timing sparring below that where we're moving quickly, you know, making contact. We're not trying to bang on each other. And then there's fighting, which is, like, even another level above that. So, yeah, I think that those are awesome distinctions.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the gym and the situation is, everybody is here to support you. We're trying to prepare you for an event, trying to get you ready for that situation. That's great when you've been in that situation before. It's great for a guy, let's take Dustin Poirier. I use Dustin a lot because I've done a lot of work with Dustin. He's a good friend of mine. But when I'm in the cage or in the ring with Dustin, and we're just moving around, just filling it out, we're going to scenarios and situations. Yeah, he understands that we're in a practice situation, but he's been there before. He's been in some of these situations live. He's had someone trying to choke the life out of him when he's trying to escape, and there are millions of people watching. His wife is watching, and his parents are watching, and people have bet on the fight, and there's just so much pressure and intensity behind it. Phil Brooks has been in that situation, but it's all been scripted in the past. In this situation, there's no, okay, now I'm going to throw you into the ropes and I'm going to whisper to you what we're going to do next. That's not going to happen. Phil Brooks has no idea what the next thing that Mickey Gall is going to do. At the same time, Mickey Gall doesn't have that idea what CM Punk is what Phil Brooks is going to do. But I think Mickey has the advantage. I mean, everybody would think Mickey has the advantage because he's been through the Crucible, right? Phil Brooks has not. He's been in the gym. He's training with some beasts. He trains with Anthony Pettis. He trains with Eric Koch. And Eric Koch is really good. I don't know how much he's been able to put in with Phil. But having those guys there, having Eric, having Anthony, having Duke Rufus to guide him, having the jiu-jitsu coaches there, having those guys, that's a great plus to have. And I don't expect CM Punk to win this fight, but I expect to see a skill set. I want to, what I'm going to learn from this fight is what has he done in the gym? Is he going to be able to come back and do this? A lot of these WWE guys, or all these guys that come from another pro sport, they get into the UFC, they lose their first UFC fight. But how effective are they going to be in the long run? Is Phil Brooks going to show us something that says, yeah, he wasn't ready for this time, but he's had the experience now, and the next time he has this opportunity, will he look different? Will he be able to apply the techniques and not be pushed to, not be shied by the fact that he hasn't had this experience of someone really trying to go after him before? So this is a really good fight, but I don't expect CM Punk or Phil Brooks to come in and be a world beater. But I do want to see what he brings to the table, how he reacts to these situations when they're real, and if his skill set holds up through the time of this thing being real, through the first round if it goes that long, through the second round if it goes that long, what skill set he shows. Because you can tell if a guy doesn't belong in there, if the skill set goes out the window just because the situation is a little bit hairy. Those are some of the things I think of those particular fights. I'm really looking forward to this UFC 203 event, and I don't know, I can't wait. Those are two of the fights that I'm really most excited about, because I met Phil Brooks when I was out there with Tyron Woodley at one point, and very nice guy, humble guy, especially for all the accolades that he has in the pro wrestling world and all the people that know who he is and love him. But he came in, he worked hard, didn't make it about himself, and I think that's a good thing. But the problem is, he's a mark. He has a target on his back because of everything else that he's done. And Mickey Gall is the first one to get to try to hit that target. So I'm not going to be one of these detractors and say, even if he goes out there and gets smashed, what I'm looking at is the skills that he brings to the ring and how long he's able to keep with the game plan, with what he understands about the game and how the game is supposed to be played. I don't want to see a football player get onto a football field and try to make a basketball move or a soccer move, right? You're doing MMA, so I want to see that everything that he does is proper. I don't want to see him turning his back and exposing his neck if he's in a bad position. Yeah, you can turn your back, but as you're turning your back, I want to see if he's going to protect his chin, keep his chin down, shoulders shrug, and protect his neck. When he's throwing punches, is he going to be slapping, or is he throwing punches with intent to do damage? When he's circling the cage, is he crossing his feet? And I'm not talking about when the fight starts. I'm talking about when it gets hairy, when there's some pressure on him, when he either gets tired or if he escapes the position. These are the things I want to see. And if he doesn't win, I don't expect him to win. I want him to do well because this guy seems like a nice guy. But I want to see what he brings to the octagon and if he shows the skills that will allow him to continue this MMA journey.
Eve, you just gave us awesome analysis and breakdowns. The Thug Jitsu breakdown is pretty cool, and this is, of course, not the only place fans can get your perspective. I know you got some cool top secret stuff coming in the future, but you've already got some really great stuff out there right now where people can get your perspective more. Just tell folks where they can find you and some of your work.
Well, I'm just like everybody else in this era. I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook as the Thug Jitsu Master is my fan page. I am on Instagram and Twitter under the same name, Thug Jitsu Master. I have a podcast right now that I run over the Sure Dog Radio Network. It's called The Neutral Corner, and that's a whole lot of fun for me. I get to speak with a lot of MMA fighters, some guys that are my heroes, some guys coming up, and some guys that are some of my peers. Randy Couture was on our previous episode, on the last episode. We spoke with Eddie Alvarez after he won the title. A whole lot of fun. I like to try to talk to these guys and find out what it is that, what fighting really means to them, or go through some of their experiences. A guy like Randy Couture, who's been doing this for so long, he's been through every part of the game. He was like one of the first guys in the last guys in the first generation of MMA, and he survived all the way through up until this latest modern era of MMA, the latest generation. Talking about him, about those things, that was so much fun. Going over his fights with Eddie, and you know, we just like to get in the head of fighters and show a side of them that you don't get to see with punches and kicks and takedown and defense. You know, just the side of them that's a little more real, but also the part of them that made them want to do this thing, that pursue the fight game. So it's a whole lot of fun. So if you want to tune into that, you can find it on the Sure Dog Radio Network. It's called The Neutral Corner. And we're planning on starting another podcast. I will introduce that on The Neutral Corner. I don't want to give too much about it away yet, because everything's not set in stone, but once it is, we will announce it on Neutral Corner, and we'll be moving forward with that, and that should be a whole lot of fun, too. And, tune in to Fox Sports 1 for the UFC Brazil card, where Cyborg is fighting again, main eventing against Lena Landsberg. I'm going to be on the desk for that, and we're just going to have a good time and keep this MMA thing going.
Man, you are a busy man. I'm so glad all these outlets are making use of your expertise. And we're so lucky to have you on. We'd love to have you and your people on whenever you guys have the time. It was awesome. Thanks for making time, Eve Edwards. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you again, Elias. Anytime you want me, I'm around.
That was Eve Edwards talking on the Extra Rounds podcast. I'm Elias Cepeda. Mike Dice is on the road glamming it up at UFC 203 in Cleveland. Now Mike is working hard, man. I miss him. I wish I could be out there with him, but I'm really glad that we got to get this episode out, even though it was a bit late. And I am so glad I got to talk with Eve Edwards. Got to thank Donald Park, a friend, teammate, and coach of mine. So among many, many other things, Donald Park is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and a world champion under Hoyler Gracie. Donald set this relationship, this conversation up with Eve, and that's phenomenal. All the folks I've been lucky enough to be able to talk to in my career, I had not actually, before Donald introduced us, been ever able to talk to one of my favorite fighters ever to watch, Eve Edwards. It's been a lot of fun talking offline with him the last couple weeks about some of the projects he's got going on and just picking his brain and him being generous and listening to me and talking with me. And it was so cool to have him on this episode. I can't wait, and I'm sure Mike agrees, to have Eve on much, much more often to do his Thug Jitsu Master Breakdown. He's a great guy. He's an insightful guy. It was awesome having him on. Do not forget to watch UFC 203 Saturday, September 10th. It's happening live in Cleveland, Ohio, home of heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic, who is defending his title for the first time, the title he won through knocking out Fabricio Werdum in May, defending his title for the first time and doing it against a doozy of an opponent, Alistair Overeem, who finally gets a crack and a real chance at a legitimate world title in MMA after all his accomplishments in kickboxing. And it's going to be a great fight. CM Punk's fighting on it. And many other fighters, too, that are decent, I guess, as well. Like Uriah Faber, Jessica Eye. Just too many fighters to even mention here in closing. But you want to watch the card. Go share it with a friend. Go to a bar. If you're a baller, buy it and watch it alone. Like an antisocial boss at home. Whatever you want. Watch the card. It's going to be a good one. We'll be talking about it next week as well, all the fallout from it, and moving forward to UFC 204, which is fast approaching, and I can't believe it. Michael Bisping is soon going to be defending his unlikely middleweight title reign for the first time against Dan Henderson. He's putting it all on the line with no real reward other than personal pride and revenge against Dan Henderson, who beat him, I think, in 2009, knocked him out in one of the nastiest highlights in MMA history. That's going to be crazy. We got some special sneak guests we want to have on as relates to that fight. We're working on some stuff. Hopefully we'll have them in to break it down and look at that fight in both men. Really excited about that. That's happening in Manchester. But first, UFC 203, Saturday, September 10th, live on pay-per-view. You know, pay-per-view time is the pay-per-view time. 9 o'clock Chicago Standard Time. East Coast, West Coast, you guys figure it out. 9 o'clock Chicago time, the main card starts. Before that, plenty of action on Fight Pass and Fox Sports 1, but you want to catch the pay-per-view main card for certain at 9 Chicago Standard Time. And that is going to be it, man. I'm stoked for the fight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Sorry for the episode coming out late. We're working on that, but we're at least trying to bring you great guests, and we're having a good time doing it. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves as well. Take care. Please, please, please check us out on iTunes. If you're listening somewhere else, feel free to go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Share it with your friends, your homies. Let them know you like us. Let them know you don't like us, but let them know about us. Thanks, guys. Elias Cepeda for Mike Dice, who is rocking it out in Cleveland at UFC 203. Extra Rounds Podcast. See you guys next week.